The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday, 30 July 2018. And I wanted to get through the last couple on this story here of the 10 things that's going on in America. America is on the path to financial suicide. The federal government's already $21 trillion in debt. Folks, that's not the entire debt. And I wish they'd quit printing that, because it's hundreds of billions of dollars.
That's about as phony number as that 12 million illegals in this country.
Yeah. So, but according to these stats, and it's being officially estimated that we'll hit $30 trillion mark by 2028. America seems to have an endless supply of cruel people. This is number 8 on the list. Down in Louisiana, authorities have arrested 5 people that locked up an autistic woman that they were related to in a cage and forced her to eat her mother's ashes. A Louisiana woman living with autism was locked up in a cage, threatened and abused, and forced to eat her mother's ashes by 5 people who were indicted this week by a federal grand jury in New Orleans. The indictment accused 5 family members of abusing their 22-year-old relative until June of 2016, according to court documents released by the U.S. District Court, rather, for the Eastern District of Louisiana. What we're describing here, folks, is the absolute decay. The moral compass is gone. Ethics is dead. Mm-hmm. People are doing whatever they want, willy-nilly, whenever they want, to whomever they want. And the new line now is, well, everything's up for grabs. Hey, just don't get caught, and you'll be okay. America's major cities, well, are rapidly being transformed into cesspools, and that's because of black politics. Excuse me, but that's the truth. The following is an excerpt from a letter that was recently penned by Portland's police chief. And he said, and here's a police chief talking about a liberalized or communized city. But he's upset because, well, it's gone over his evident, I don't know what you could say here, Steve, his line. Mm-hmm. You know, the city has stepped over his tolerance line. He said, our city has become a cesspool. Livability that once made Portland a unique and vibrant city is now replaced with human feces and business doorways in our parks and in our streets. Aggressive panhandlers block the sidewalks, storefronts, and landmarks like Pioneer Square, discouraging people from enjoying our city. Garbage-filled RVs and vehicles are strewn throughout our neighborhoods. Used needles, drug paraphernalia, and trash are common sights lining the streets and sidewalks of the downtown core area, under our bridges and freeway overpasses. That's not what our families and business owners and tourists deserve. Okay, it seems to me he's more concerned about the dollars and the appearance rather than the initial problem that he's facing out there. And again, this is, give it a name. I don't care what you want to call it, decay. Give it a name. Call it what you will.
Yeah.
It is the absolute moral decay. You didn't.
You know, John, you had a last week. It's probably in the archives now. San Francisco had the same problem. They talked about this. Remember, that the homeless are not using the facilities they've given them. They're defecating in the streets. Yeah. There's drug paraphernalia. There's needles everywhere. And you know what? We never see that on mainstream media. You had an awesome video on your the website where a guy was on a mountain bicycle with a GoPro. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Riding through Orange County, and that was the longest bike ride. That was the longest video I've ever seen of going through a homeless camp, because he was going at a pretty good speed on his GoPro with his GoPro bike, and it was just outside the Coliseum there, and it was huge.
Yeah.
And we never ever see that. Do you know why you never see that, John, on mainstream? Do you know why you never see that?
Because that would tell people the true conditions are in the city streets in one of our major cities.
True conditions, and then a politician would have to find a solution to this problem, and they don't have a solution any of these problems.
How can you get ethics and morality out of a politician that's too busy selling himself and everybody else out?
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Now they're too. They got money for all these illegals coming here, but they don't have money to fix this situation. So out of sight, out of mind. They don't. You will never see that video playing in mainstream media. And you'll never see it.
And like I said, you know, would this be offending to the foo-foos of America? Let's see the real video presentations of the gay pride parade. Let's see their magnificent floats when they're up there fornicating, literally in public, performing sex acts on floats going down a public street. In San Francisco. Let's see that. Let's see how much America is behind that. This is all controlled stuff. Steve, you and I talked about this. What if people were given another narrative? And given another narrative, an injection of reality in mass. Say, for instance, let's say that you had the top 20 radio markets in this country. And that we had hosts such as we have here on this network. And we had the entire time on one radio station in that major market. Now, if you don't know what the major markets are, folks, for the United States, go look them up. It's always been an indicator. Once a network is in the top 20 market, well, then they're there. And the programming, other people would want to pick it up in the smaller markets. So on, and so the story goes. Unless it's the unvarnished truth. If we were to tell people, say that we had 5 million people listening to this network right now, and we told them about the story that they had not heard a damn thing about. Now, you mentioned the movie. And that movie, was that not done in Philadelphia?
Which movie?
Boston, rather. Movie about the predatory priest.
It was Boston. It was the Boston Globe that broke the story, Boston Globe.
What was the name of the movie?
Spotlight.
Thank you. Now, what if people discovered, well, wait a minute. There are 300 priests in just 6 dioceses in Pennsylvania? Isn't that an indication that we got a much greater problem with grown men fooling around with your children? Imagine that you had 5 or 10. Now, that's just the 5 million that would hear it. How many would go to the website? How many people would email their friends and go, do you know this stuff is going on? The problem that we have always had and continue to have, I drained the bank accounts today. It's the end of the month, and I've got no money for any bills whatsoever. We have been underfunded. There have not been the people that have the ability to do so to step up. By the way, what I was talking to you about, remember the conversation?
We had several. Which one?
The top 20 markets in the country, Steve.
Okay, yeah, yes.
Okay, remember that conversation?
I do remember that, yes.
We set the narrative. Just as I gave the example for Fox News, let's change the narrative about this Trump crap. Let's push their headlines right off of their news desk. Let's embarrass them by getting hard, important news to the people that they should be paying attention to, because we're in serious trouble. We could do the same thing on radio. I don't see people beating a path to my door going, John, that's a damn good idea. And I've done it already. I know how the process goes. It is achievable. It's as achievable as Steve Elkins and John Stadtmiller doing a program on this network right now. It's real. It's not imaginary. It's not a wish list. It's not encouragement to people that are losing hope. No, this is a real plan. But where's the money to do it?
Right.
We've got a bunch of great patriots. They're pandering to their own crowds, bringing their own people in a couple hundred at a time and sitting them down and talking to them, and they all applaud and think, well, that's great. The information's out there. No, the information is not out there. The information is in your small groups. That's where it is, and that's where it's staying.
Yeah. John, let me throw something at you here. I'm just looking up Spotlight. I wanted to see how much attention did it get at the box office. Worldwide, it actually made $98,275,238. Here in the United States, it made $45 million, 45%. So it got some attention, but you didn't see people getting activated and motivated to go after.
Nobody
these
picked
people.
Up the storyline. That's why.
No, they didn't. But it did make some money. Yeah.
And here's a group pandering to a little larger group, but nobody picked up the ball and ran with it. Yeah. Nobody.
It got nominated for 6 Oscars, winning 2, and I never heard anybody going after anything. I mean, yes, this happened back in the 70s, but it still continues today. This is still going on, very active. Hmm. Nothing. Nobody seems to care. I don't know.
Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura.
Hi, John and Steve.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, John, I wanted to ask you something. Did you listen to Robert Rigo's show last night?
I did.
Okay, at the end, you know, Jeff from Idaho called in, and he was reading something from Anna, and he read it so fast. Of course, by the time I heard it, it was 1:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I was in bed listening, trying to listen. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could have this Jeff from Idaho come on your show and read that and go slowly and explain each paragraph. I think it was very important.
What was he talking about? Did you get a indication of what he was saying?
About government. You said you heard it too, right?
Yeah, I did listen to it. Was this the when he was talking about and he threw an F bomb out there? Was that the one?
I think he might have made a mistake. I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pre-recorded, and I've already put the word out. As a matter of fact, Steve made me aware of it, and before Mr. Revolt was off the air, I kind of asked him, you know, to review the material he's sending over because Billy Bob doesn't say that word on this network.
No, I wasn't complaining about that word.
No, I understand. I got you. I'm just saying that Steve was listening to the broadcast. I did not hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm asking you, what was the essence of what the guy was talking about?
Well, it's pretty much about... It's about the government now. Things can be fixed, you know.
Huh?
And I don't know. Like I said, it was 1:30 in the morning, and I need him to talk slower. The guy talked too fast.
Go back to the archives. Listen to the archives. Yeah. Go back to the archives.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you're aware of this, Laura, or not. In our archives, you can actually play recordings at a slower speed. Did you know that?
Can you?
Yes, you can.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. A lot of people don't know, and it's subtle things, but they're handy little things to have.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to thank Mike Rivero for encouraging people to vote, unlike other hosts who discourage people from voting. Steve.
Well, no. The reason I'm not a big fan of it because I don't like wasting my time. Because I understand if you watch Bev Harris's video. Hacking democracy,
well,
you would understand what I'm talking about.
But I'm saying, while the Democrats are getting all the illegal aliens they can to vote, you're discouraging our people from voting.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't. Maybe we get a congressman and whatever.
Why don't we just fix the system?
Okay. Well, that's the problem. We cannot fix the system at this point. And I understand, Laura, what you're saying. That's to slow their roll. And I understand the problem. And I've spoken about this on my own program in the past many times. I know what's wrong with the system. I know that we don't have the original Constitution in place. I know the administrative state has taken over. I know that the United States government's now one of the biggest world's corporations. We know all of those things. But Laura, in order to defeat the next crop that they're putting up there, I'm in agreement with you. You know, I am, when I get the voter registration card, or I get the driver license, or I get this, or I get that, even a passport, in that you're declaring yourself to be a citizen of the United States, of that corporatized entity. And I get and understand that. But I also understand and appreciate what you're saying about voting to stop that next asset from taking office. No, I get what you're saying. It's not going to fix what the problem is. That's going to take a while longer. But can we at least shove a couple of corks in the dike? Because the old Dutchy boy has run out of fingers.
You know, Roxanne, I lived in California.
It's not Roxanne. That is Laura.
Laura. Laura, when I lived in California, Governor Brown worked really hard to get the illegal vote. And the first step to that, getting the legal, just to getting a vote, was giving the driver's license.
Yep.
And there's no voter ID. Now, the system is rigged. And certain states, like California, holds a lot of electoral college votes. They're going to want to steal that one. They're going to want to steal Florida, Ohio, a couple others. But the point is, when I found this out by watching that movie, and I actually know somebody who was a candidate for office who actually was beat through fraud, and she actually had to sue and take a lot of money, but she sued and she had it overturned because she showed the fraud. I find that quite offensive. First of all, you have to have an ID to go buy alcohol. You have to have an ID to do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And something so important as voting, a right as a citizen to vote, and my governor giving driver's licenses in order to get them to vote for Democrats. Hey, I'm sorry, but I stood in line and my vote did not count because of all this crime, this corruption, this illegal voting.
It didn't not count. You were just under unfair advantage because the requirements for having a voter registration is that you have an ID. Okay. So in order to give the voter registration cards, well, we'll give you some voter ID. Okay, here's a driver's license. There's your ID.
Yeah. Well, I love the flimsy excuse of why no ID, because that's racial profiling.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, but also
– no, you're a citizen. You should have an ID.
Okay, but moving toward the Orwellian future of a national ID card that you've heard talked about, because under the guise of we got terrorists running around here, we got illegals, you know, people just have to have a national ID. You know, that's going right back into the corporate states of America. That's going right back in to the unconstitutional constitution. That's going right, feeding right into their administrative state. That is not a solution to the problem. So you get a driver's license, you can now vote even though you're still illegal. Hey, oh, you got a driver's license? Well, guess what? You can get welfare benefits now, and then you can get housing subsidies, and you can get this, and you can get that, all at everybody else's expense. Socialism only lasts as long as they can spend everybody else's money. And now what we're faced with is ask the Californians out there how they feel about their debt. They're leaving that state in droves.
They are. Yeah, if they're not, they're not leaving because of the economic situation. They're leaving because of the fires and everything else. It's California is a hellhole right now.
And Steve, I don't know if you looked over your shoulder since you left the West Coast, the left coast, but yeah, it is about jobs. It is about economy. It is about the environment now in California, not just about the fires.
No, I know.
California, the land of the fruits, nuts, and flakes, they're proud of it.
Yeah.
This is now, you might as well hang the rainbow flag over California.
Yeah, you know, really should. Yeah. Whoever stays is going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to dig down deep in your pockets. You're going to have to pay for all this sanctuary city, sanctuary state. You're going to have to pay
why,
for it.
Why should taxpayers out there have to pay for Sodom and Gomorrah? Shouldn't they just have the ability to say, no, I'm not funding that?
I totally agree, and I encourage anybody who's listening to this program is in California. We have a few vacancies down here in my area. You're welcome to come down.
But you're going to be screened first.
Yes. And you have to get an ID.
Laura, thank you for your call, dear.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's take the break. We'll be back in 3.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy.
All right. Betty in North Carolina, hang on a second. I want to get this in so I can clear my caller screen so I can get one of my screens back here. Rename Austin, City Report on Confederate Monument raises the idea. City of Austin's Equity Office suggested renaming the city in a report about existing Confederate monuments published in late July. The city of Austin is named after Stephen F. Austin, who is known as the father of Texas. Austin also opposed an attempt from Mexico to ban slavery and said that if slaves were freed, they would turn into vagabonds, a nuisance and a menace. Talking about it possibly being renamed. Barton Springs and 10 streets named for William Barton, Daniel Boone of Texas, who was a slave owner. Going back to the slavery, renaming the city, Bolden Creek, Pease Park, and Barton-related landmarks were identified in a list of assets for the secondary review in this report. The report identified 7 streets staff considered related to the Confederacy and worthy of more immediate action. The report also listed numerous historical markers related to the Confederacy, city property that could possibly be targeted for removal. The city estimated that it would cost about $6,000 to rename the streets. On April 26th, the council renamed Robert E. Lee Road as Azzy Morton Road. Davis Avenue was changed to William Holland Ave. And this isn't the Austin Un-American Statesman, folks. I mean, it wasn't just about monuments or slavery. The entire Confederacy to these pathological asshats. Oh, it was all about slavery. It was all about this. It was all about... No, it was about states' rights. That's what this was about. And as if it was just slavery, it was just plantation owners. Excuse me? There were slaves in the North as well. The wrong people won the war. And this was father against father, son against son. And these people came in, politically correct. Oh, that Confederate flag, that's a hate flag. No, that was a battle flag. That's how you distinguish one side from the other. But they
National embarrassment, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it's just a national embarrassment.
You know, I can never understand, John, why is there Civil War reenactments of one of the biggest black eyes that we have in our history, brother against brother, brother killing brother, and we have reenactments? I can't get over this, how stupid this is.
Well, it's not stupid from their perspective. It's necessary to rewrite history, flush yes. the history of this country right down the toilet, so you got a clean slate that you can make up new history.
Exactly.
Betty in North Carolina. Hello, Betty. Thanks for holding.
Hello. I'd like to discuss what Laura started to discuss, and just within the last hour, I went back to the archives, and Robert Revolt's middle hour two at 40 minutes into it, read these a very long paragraph, and Steve heard it. So it stimulated me tremendously. I want to get word for word and then do some research on it, because neither Laura nor Steve mentioned that it deals with the control. I'm asking this. I'm not saying this is the way it was, but Steve can criticize me if I'm off. The thing that captured my imagination was that they're talking about Rothschild money and Rockefeller money, mm-hmm, right, and the manipulation in order from 1897 to 1950, the manipulations to get Palestine to be Zionist, and it really captured my imagination. Steve, am I correct in what I'm saying?
Yeah, you are. You did notice that the caller was very angry. He was, I think he didn't realize what he was saying. I mean, he was very angry, and he threw some language out there. He probably shouldn't have done that, but I could understand his anger. And yes, you're right on the point.
I'm not talking about somebody's comment on it.
No, I'm talking about what he wrote, what he said on air, and then he was very angry. Yes, yes, you're on point.
Well, was it not what he said? Was that he was reading this paragraph? And I have misplaced something and I'm wrong about it, I'm looking to be set correct on it.
Yeah,
but it really did capture my curiosity completely.
And this, from your understanding, this was this guy in Oregon that was reading?
Well, no, this was sometime between last night and the rebroadcast of it this morning, and, you know, I'm halfway under the weather at that time of night, but I was so strongly impressed.
Yeah. See, the disadvantage that I have is the listeners out there listen to multiple shows on this network, and then,
yes,
then they come on my show and talk up to me,
yes,
about a show that I didn't even hear.
I appreciate that so much, but if it captured the attention of other people, that's
right,
what surprised me, because it sure captured mine, and I'm going to fool around and try and find what I can do to do my own research on it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Betty. By the way, tonight there's a premiere on Paramount Network. Now, Paramount Network runs a lot of their own Paramount movies, obviously, and with commercials, and it is somewhat edited. somewhat, although what gets past the censors now, you can say GD as well as you say hell on the air now. New standards. But the Paramount Network premieres tonight, Rest in Power, the Trayvon Martin story. And this, what they're calling this, is the legacy of Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin wasn't a legacy. He was a bad kid. He was a bad kid that was in the wrong neighborhood at the wrong time. And we all know the story. We know what happened. Whether you agreed with it or you didn't, what they tried to do is paint this little turd. Let's gild him up. Let's sugarcoat that. No, we'll do one better. We'll gold plate it. It's still a turd. Now, here is Paramount Network. Oh, this, don't you know that this is a reason why Black Lives Matter came up? Really? Seriously? Well, what about that evil cop that shot that kid and started those the riots? And oh well, why don't we do a story on the 6 foot something 18-year-old kid that was nothing but a wannabe gangbanger,
a thug?
He had already ripped off a party store. Wouldn't take it to suggestion, and it was a suggestion at first. To the kids were walking down the middle of the street. Cop in his patrol car coming down the street. Hey, fellas, can you do me a favor? Can you get on the sidewalk? That's what started it. This guy tried to grab the cop's gun while he was seated in his cruiser. Yeah. And the only thing that I'm sorry about is he didn't kneecap the thug. I'm sorry that the kid's dead, because I'd like to see this piece of garbage sitting in a jail cell someplace. Yeah. And not
by the way, your Trayvon Martin is movie documentary is produced by Jay-Z, the Devil Worshipper.
Did you have to send that over to him? You did that on your own? You stole my thunder. Say that again, because we were kind of removed from the remarks here on Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, the Devil Worshipper, is producing the Trayvon Martin documentary. It's his story.
Yeah. Now, isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. That a Satanist, a loving Satanist, you know, the funny thing about this, what Jesus ever do to you? Or for you?
Yeah.
Did he make you rich? Well, wait a minute. Mr. Jay-Z, you rap thug, can you prove to me that the devil, the Satan, made you rich? Let me see the bank account numbers that Satan has set up that transferred the funds into your bank account. This narrative, as you said, and rightfully so, Mr. Elkins, the narratives are never challenged, ever. John,
it makes me wonder, John, how many other people are just like Jay-Z but silent about the whole Satan thing.
It's bigger.
Yes.
Remember 10, 15 years ago? Remember all the stuff about witchcraft and the witches were coming out and going, oh, no, there's black magic and then there's white magic. You know, this is the good witch stuff. They don't sit around, you know, praising Jesus. I can tell you that much. That whole thing faded away because you don't want to get into that narrative. You don't want to go to the bottom of that story. You don't want to examine the issue because you ain't going to like what you see. So let's just push it off of the headlines and let's continue with another narrative, burning churn of earning funk, whatever.
You know what you give Jay-Z for Christmas, John? You give him a Ouija board. Devil worshiper, Ouija board.
John in Humboldt County. Hello, John. Where's Humboldt County?
Eureka.
Humboldt County is Northern Eureka. California.
Eureka.
Well, how's Northern life out there California. In Humboldt County,
I
John?
I hear you out here chopping up California all the time.
Yep.
But there's a couple of us cats out here. They're doing just fine.
Okay.
And you realize that your Humboldt County is only alive. Eureka is only alive because of the drug trade. You do realize that, right?
Oh yeah, of course. I work around
big
it
time.
Every day.
Yeah.
What do you do, John? If you don't mind me.
Right now I'm a property manager. I take care of about 17 properties now.
Okay, so you see it firsthand.
I just got done. just got done with college. I got a business management degree, and I'm getting my brokerage license. I can expand it because of the way that the property management companies that are here are very vindictive.
Mm. But you have the occasion to see what we're talking about. Since you are a property manager, these are people living in, I'm assuming...
I was born and raised here, too. So okay. I watched Humboldt go through its whole thing. So Steve understands what I'm talking about.
So you were born at that St. Joe's Hospital?
Actually, it's the old General Hospital, which is the insane asylum now.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, so John, are you upset that I'm chopping up California all the time?
No, it's not that just that you're chopping it up. It's just that I have ideas, and I have like a combat. You know how you have the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto?
Mm-hmm.
I have the 10 planks of taking the Republic back, of the state of California.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
And I've wrote them up, and I've talked to Mike Rivera about them, too, and and other people, not just, but a lot of...
Well, give us a couple right now. Give us a couple right now. What are they?
Okay, hold on. Let me grab my laptop. Yeah, no, it's actually...
I'm always open to solutions to fix problems. I want to hear them.
Wait, aren't we all? Let me see here.
By the way, while you're looking that up, John...
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
No, while you're looking that up... I was wondering what I was going to be talking about down in San Antonio at the Riverwalk, this thing coming up, the USS Liberty, the boat that wouldn't sink. I was trying to figure out what my topic of conversation, because I'm the last speaker. What I'm going to actually play is that piece that I played again last Friday, and that was the 16-minute presentation on banking. I've got an hour to speak. I'm going to use 16 minutes of that time to present the video of the national debt scam and encourage people. Put these on email trees. Do it throughout the country. Facebook, that's a platform. It doesn't stop people from taking their personal emails, emailing friends and family, and asking for other people. You've seen the videos. You've seen stories on the web. Please pass this on, that kind of deal. That's what we're asking people to do. Now, we can take advantage of the tools that are out there to wield, or we just leave them rust in the dust. I mean, there's no other way about that. Anyhow, go ahead, John.
Yes, sir. Okay, so... I'll just kind of just mull through this. So localize and create a county or state bank backed by tangible commodities. Use the federal law known as Title 18 on all city council and state representatives that committed treason. Reestablish voluntarism. Decentralize and break up the state control of the agricultural, political, and technical business systems. Negate federal funds for any means except for the protection of the borders. Establish a new system of education based on the common law and ethics of the free market economics and the constitution of the founding fathers. Abolish all unjust laws that mandate citizens to do any involuntary, such as voting, health, and well-being. Recall all state house leaders immediately for the purpose of reconstruction of the Republic of the California. And it's really small. I'm just trying to get my...
Well, if you're going to be talking about this on people's programs, put that in a format. Better still get a hard copy and print it big enough you can read it.
I know. I probably should.
You should.
But reconstitute the citizens' free movement within the borders without state license or any other authoritarian or overreach of the Constitution of California. Dismantle the police state and utilize the equipment for the border patrol and nothing else.
Well, okay. All right. So we're not to have any police on our streets at all? Is that it?
No. You would have peace.
Peace officers.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
You know, well, we need to get rid of the Keystone Corporate Coffer Cops, formerly known as the police departments, because they're the one out there. They're the ones out there in the administrative state. You know, the laws that are passed or become law, statutory this or codified that, does not stay. They keep building on that administrative law, that administrative state that they have the police out there enforcing. So, yeah. What I would do, John, if I were you, you know, I heard you cite title and so on and so forth.
Title 18.
Yeah, Title 18. But do me a favor, put this in a scenario that people can understand. They understand the problem, and you have some suggestions, but the very root of this, the administrative state, having this government, seated government, you know, and control of this or control of that, that's absolute manure, and I'm in agreement with you. But put that in such a way that it falls under that, the banner of here's the administrative state and here, boom, 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 here's example, example, example. This has got to be done away with, and this is the replacement or just do away with it. John, I appreciate your call.
Hey, John, real quick here. You forgot one other thing here. Maybe it's in there somewhere, but you never addressed, if you want to get back the Republic, bring it back, you never addressed term limitations and these professional career politicians. They are a huge part of your problem. They are a huge part of your problem. You want to bring back the Republic and bring back power to the from the people to, and the government, but you've got politicians on the take. You got lobbyists who own the politicians who work for the corporations. You need to address that issue right there because there's a big problem right there.
Well,
you got to fix that.
And what did I say before? You know, the lobbyists, full disclosure, you got a lobbyist coming. I don't care if you're a state senator. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're federal. I don't care. You got a lobbyist that makes a phone call to you? That's recorded. You got a lobbyist that makes a visit into your office? That is recorded. And let's see how fast the manipulation of politics out there and agendas, money being shoveled at agendas, and their agents, namely the people that we elect into office, when that is made public, you'd see this lobbying for the nefarious drop, I think, quite quickly, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Pat in Fort Worth. Hello, Pat.
Hi. Well, I like our local senator here in Texas, Connie Burton. She says she only allows citizens in. No cities can take taxpayer money and lobby her. Okay. That's where I was. You were talking about the Motor Voter Act. Do you know you can actually go to the Constitutional Convention because you're a registered voter and you
don't... You're fading on me there, Pat.
I said you could actually go to a Constitutional Convention, if they get one, they probably will, and you don't have to speak English because of being a registered voter under the Motor Voter Act.
Pat, we have stopped every Constitutional Convention that they tried to start, and we've been doing it for 30 years.
Pat, we don't need a constitutional convention. We just need to follow our own constitution.
She's not pro constitution. No. Pull her up, Mike. Do your board thing. Hold on, Pat. She's not there advocating, Steve, for a constitutional convention. Okay. That's a very bad thing because you get a certain number of senators, or I'm sorry, governors behind a closed door. They can literally rewrite.
Exactly.
Okay. So I just didn't want any confusion there. Sorry, Pat, I had to pull you down. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just can't get a good phone with my bad voice that y'all can hear me. Okay. And another thing, too, Dobson wrote a book called Getting It Straight, How Homosexual Marriage is Not Scientifically, now scientific journal, a good thing. It doesn't work. Okay. So they got a bomb thrown in there on them in the office. But another thing, too, when you said political correctness, you reminded me of Ben Carson, and then I also, mainly Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee. he talks a lot about it, and he would be a good candidate for the Supreme Court. He put in a bill in March called FATA, First Amendment Defense Act, about people having the right to believe only in the marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
And not the federal government doing things. It's a story.
Okay,
about
Pat, I would caution you about one thing, because I know you're an old politico. You've been around for a number of years, and I get that.
I didn't.
You know, but my point here is, just because Mike Lee comes up with a bill, it doesn't erase who Mike Lee isn't. He's picking on hot-button political issues and pushing this and talking about it and crafting a bill. I don't even really think the guy really gives a damn. He just cares more about coming in for the next term in office. And I'm sorry, you know, to water on your parade like that, but Mike Lee out of Utah isn't somebody that I'd vote for Supreme Court, because he's been on the wrong side of the Constitution more times than he's been on the right side of it.
Need to hear it. And you need to put it on your website then, because he really has had 40 years of experience, and Kavanaugh does not. And why do we need five Catholic judges on the Supreme Court? How do you know that they're not actually going to go kind of easy on a priest or a case, you know, a Catholic church and child molestation?
Well, hold on here, hold on. 30% of the Supreme Court is already Jewish. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, hold on, Pat, pull her down, would you please? Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she goes by the Talmud. I don't know what the Talmud has with anything spiritual or any decision-making on the United States Supreme Court. And I don't think Mike Lee is the panacea against this. You know, and Catholics and Jews, I'll just say this, Pat, and I got to let you go. They're both yarmulke wearers. And there's problems with both of them. And I don't, you know, the problem I'm having here is a president that's of supposedly a certain ilk, or he's a Republican, or he's a Democrat. I don't care about what the person that's going to put on the robes and sit in judgment and do what Supreme Court justices do. Their political affiliation should not even be a consideration. It's your knowledge and understanding of the Constitution itself, and I don't give a damn. I don't care what your political aspirations are, and I really don't care. But Catholics or yarmulke-wearing Jews, I don't care, Pat. The whole thing is skewed. The whole damn thing. And I thank you for your call. By the way, you're right. Your phone is bad.
Hey, Pat, if you're still listening, check out Proposition 8. She's probably listening on radio.
Yeah.
Proposition 8, California Proposition 8, how the people voted and that the government came back, political correctness, and said, well, you didn't vote right. We overturn your vote, and we'll throw it to the Supreme Court. So check that out, California Prop 8. Be surprised.
Ed in Utah. Hello, Ed.
Hello, John. John, I just heard you talk here, and I'll tell you right now, that's why I listen to your show. You are spot on about Mike Lee, and then I'll get to my point. Mike Lee, just to remind the folks, was a huge never-Trumper. Not that that makes him disqualified, but he jumped and rushed to judgment on cases against Donald Trump twice without seeing the evidence in both cases. You don't want to puke like that on the Supreme Court. And when you analyze what he does, he seizes upon hot-button issues,
yep,
to drive his agenda to look good with the Christian right.
Yep.
That man is a phony. I'd rather have Orrin Hatch in there. At least you know where he's coming from, and he had the political sense to shut his mouth against speaking against Donald Trump. But I just had to get off my chest and appreciate you, John, for off the cuff, you analyzed Mike Lee, that puke, perfectly.
Well, and you know, this is not a mystery. I've been around for a number of years, Ed. And it's not a mystery how these politicians work and how they work the voters. I get the process. You know, but a lot of people don't. They're still, and I don't want to remove hope from their vernacular. But you know, here's another gold-plated turd. It's basically what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right.
All right.
Anyway, why I called you today, I want to aim more toward you, Steve, if you take this the right way. I'm not about, having a forum on solutions as such. I'm not looking for solutions. We have them. John articulates them. You yourself do, Steve. Okay. Mike Rivero, even Alex Jones. We need to get a hold of that two-headed monster. The Marxist Zio Jew on the one hand, and the Trotskyite, that two-headed hydra that is has to seize control of our government. They are blocking and stopping any type of progress. Look at Donald Trump. He's not perfect, but I like what he's talking about right now, what he was elected for, stopping the government if we have to. Am I still on?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to shut down the government if he has to. He's letting them play their game. He's going after China. Let's keep that going. Notice the silence here from Paul Ryan and that other puke, Mitch McConnell, not coming to his defense, not rallying behind Trump. No, it's like one man in politics that we're looking toward because he's talking the right way to do something here. That's where I'm going with. He knows who that real enemy is. And maybe he's going to start doing things like out of the blue, John, where he pardoned the ranchers in Oregon last week. What if he were to send Don Trump Jr. down to that American Free Press USS Liberty Convention in San Antonio, where you're going?
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying he'll do that,
but
he could do something out of the blue to really spark us in this patriot movement.
Well, I don't know that they're even fully aware, Ed, of... I don't even know if they're fully aware of us and what we've been talking about for a number of years. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is still, we're still in the land of la-la politicians. It is still politics emanating out of Washington, D.C., and specifically the White House and Donald Trump's cabinet. I would not have my son-in-law. I don't care, because that is rife with problems. My mommy years ago told me when I was just a young man, and she wanted to make sure she imparted some of her wisdom on me, and she told me, Johnny, never get your bread where you get your meat.
Exactly.
And you know what? I have never involved myself personally with anybody that works for me, because things get kind of gushy and kind of... It clouds your judgment. Let me just put it to you that way.
Yeah cronyism
John,
is a bad thing.
Cronyism
is bad.
But this is what we're it's part of the package we have here. Let me just say this and I'll go. A little response to you, John. Remember a while back NBC contacted you to want to do a feature story on Kelso. They are listening. And just to keep as a reminder here, during the campaign, Don Trump Jr. went on the political cesspool. That is a venue for Dr. David Duke. So they may not be able to say what they're listening to, but they are, as they're listening to Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan is partly in our camp, and he partly stays mainstream to get his voice on Hannity. You know what I'm saying.
Right, I understand. All right, Ed, thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're running out of time here. Rob in Illinois. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Scuba Steve and John.
How
good
you
evening,
doing?
Good evening.
Good evening.
So it's not the son-in-law that's actually the true issue. It's the fact that his Chabad Lubavitch is the epitome of the problem there. But moving on, going to the California issues, you guys are aware of new California state movement headed up by Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio.News or Agenda 21 Radio. Yes, no? Maybe so.
I'm familiar with some. Are you also talking about the three-state solution for California?
No.
Okay.
That was a curveball they tried throwing in there to screw everything else up.
Yeah, they sure did.
No, that's that. Hopefully that's dead in the water. But no,
it is dead.
Working
it's
on it for a long time, doing everything by the books. They've written up their own constitution. Scott Bennett's behind it. You know Scott Bennett from Shell Games. Michael J. Anderson is co-host and his co-partner. All of them. You can look at YouTube. You can go to newcaliforniastate.com. They got many counties on board, and this is what they're pushing through. This is the real deal. California has a legitimate stake in this to be free of all the garbage that's going on, this is it. period. And it's Paul Preston. He does Agenda 21 Radio. Agenda
yeah, he's 21 good. Radio. He's good. News. I've actually met him. He's a good guy. He's good.
Yeah, he is. He's very intelligent. He's got a lot of info about a variety of things. But he's heading this up, and he's trying to do it right, and they are doing it right. They're doing it by the book, and that way Jerry Brown can't get in their way and so on and so forth. So you guys look into that and start spreading that word, because anyone wants to say that this is the most legitimate chance they have of doing it the right way.
Okay? All right.
All right, guys. Thank you.
I kind of missed. He's talking really quickly. And I was discussing a sound issue here with the producer. What exactly is this about?
He's talking about Agenda 21.
Okay.
California.
Right.
California is one of probably the first state they're going to actually push the whole Agenda 21 thing. The districting, the government controlling and all the resources, basically. And they're doing that right now with the smart meters.
Big part of that. Smart growth meters. Has been, yeah. And it's not California. It's all over the place.
No, it is. I know. But, with these fires right now, I'm looking for a guest right now. I'm hopefully get him on the show. Talking about Agenda 21, Debbie Bacalupi. And she's very, very sharp. Paul Preston is awesome also. But the redistricting, basically these fires, what's happening in California, I theorize what's going to happen. It's part of Agenda 21. And that they're going to force everybody out of these areas, not let them come back and rebuild. And it's kind of like Divergent, the movie. They're redistricting. They're controlling the resources. The land is owned by the government. They're taking away.
Oh, one other thing I wanted to say before we get out of here.
Yeah.
We were talking about Jay-Z, a.k.a. Sean Carter, executive producer for this Trayvon Martin documentary crap that Paramount is pushing.
Yeah.
There's another movie that I just saw just recently. And you know who Omar Epps is? If you ever watched the series House, he was the black doctor on his team.
Oh, yeah.
He was in this movie, and it was based on actual fact. It has to do with human trafficking, and it is well worth the watch. It's kind of, if you're of a sensitive nature out there, folks, it doesn't have overt sexual stuff going on in it, and it's about more the mechanism of how they don't recruit, they steal people right off the street, drug them, sell them, so on and so forth. I hadn't seen Omar Epps in anything. I think the last thing I saw him in before he did the series House, what was that movie about baseball, the Cleveland Indians? Wild
Thing?
Major League.
Major League.
He was in that movie. He doesn't have a big illustrious movie career. But he's choosing his roles, and he played an outstanding part in this. And traffic isn't spelled T-R-A-F-F-I-C. It's I-K. So if you see that, I think it's in red box right now. Folks, this is just another little indicator that there are some people, and there wasn't big money behind this production. There wasn't big money behind it at all. As a matter of fact, you can always tell when you go to a red box. If your only choice is a DVD, no Blu-ray, and no 4K, you could tell it was. But the money that they used, the photography, the storyline, the direction of the movie, the acting, it is well worth the watch, and it's based on actual events. So there it is. There's my movie recommendation. You're going to have to watch it. You got red boxes down there. I know you do.
Yeah, we do.
All right, man. Okay, well, Steve, I appreciate your time.
You're welcome, sir.
All righty. And folks, it is the end of the month, and the accounts are dry. So support. You want us to continue with this mission? You got to help support us, folks. Please support us. Go to PayPal. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. Hit the donate button. Give generously so we can continue the fight. Thank you for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.